Welcome to the Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. This podcast is actually a spinoff of a Facebook group. My name is Sharon McLaughlin. I created that Facebook group for female physicians so that they would have a place to come and learn about business, to network, and to grow. And we've done just that. So if you're interested, take a look at our show notes for our website, as well as a direct link to the Facebook group. This podcast is going to be about everything business. So let's listen along as we hear about tips to help grow our business. Before we get started, let me mention Builderall. Builderall Foro will launch on October 1st, 2020. It is an all-in-one platform. It is where I host my website, my courses, our summit that we had. I put my podcast episodes on that. I have my sales pages, my landing pages, all my webinars. There's a booking app. There's a magazine editor. You name it, they have it. Everything that you can possibly want for an online business is there on that platform. So if you need help building a course, reach out to me. There's also links down below as far as a free trial, and also $1 for 30 days, you get to try all the tools. All right, guys, I'll see you on that platform. Let's get started with our episode. In this episode, we speak to Dr. Sunny Smith, who is a clinical professor of family medicine and public health at the UC San Diego School of Medicine and founder of Empowering Women Physicians podcast, coaching, retreats, and Facebook group. She has spent her academic career in medical student education and underserved medicine. She is the recipient of multiple teaching awards, including Humanism in Medicine, Excellence in Teaching, and Being an Outstanding Community Leader. She has been an outspoken advocate for medical student and physician wellness for years and now advocates for this work in her comprehensive and collaborative coaching program, where she empowers women physicians to finally enjoy this life they have worked so hard to create. Sunny, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me today and to share your group, your experience with the group today. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, Sharon. I have to say, I want to acknowledge you and your space and what you create for us, because I think when I, you know, was a regular clinician, physician, academic person, I didn't know there was a space where female physician entrepreneurs existed or congregated. I can't say I don't know exactly how I ended up finding your group, but once I went there, it just felt like a very safe space to talk about things that physicians don't talk about. And so I just want to acknowledge you for creating that space. Thank you for doing so. It's been an amazing support for, I think, many of us.
Thank you. Thanks so much. So tell us about you. You're a family practitioner. You're in academics. You were teaching medical students and some residents. And how did you get into coaching? What happened? Tell us your story.
That is a great question. So I have told this story, you know, versions of this story to many folks. And it's interesting because it brings up, what's your narrative, your story of your life? It influences so much. And your narrative kind of changes over time, even though the facts stay the same. And so for your audience, and given that some of them may know some things about me and some of them may know nothing about me, I would say that, you know, I followed the traditional route of medical school residency. I did my first year out. I did sort of locums per diem because I didn't want to be tied down. I was like, no one's going to tell me what to do anymore. And when I was looking at contracts, you know, there was like tail insurance to leave and all this stuff. But anyway, then I came back I was invited to come be the medical director at the free clinic that I had been running and we had started when I was a medical student. And it's interesting because as a fourth year student, you know, my faculty advisor had said to me, what do you want to do? I didn't know what kind of specialty I wanted to do. Family, internal medicine, med peds, emergency, something to take care of everyone, because my passion was in serving the underserved and being able to help the most people with the most things. So anyway, I came back. So I basically told her I wanted to do what she did, which was run a free clinic. And that wasn't a job back then, but the world went on and I was able to come back and do that. So I spent my career running a free clinic in churches and, you know, improvising and just making things happen and passionate about social justice and rights to access to care and being an academic and leading at my institution and advising medical students, and well-being was very important to me. Mental health was very important to me. And so that's what I thought I'd be doing forever until I had my own personal accident. I had a bike accident and I kind of got holed up and had to sit real still because I had broken arms, broken face, couldn't do anything, couldn't care for myself, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't really, I mean, I could talk a little. But during that downtime, I found podcasts. I found the Life Coach School podcast was the first podcast I ever listened to. And it changed the way I saw everything. And instead of seeing the accident as like a terrible tragedy that happened to me that never should have happened to me, I saw it as an opportunity for the first time ever to slow down and question the way I was choosing to live my life because it was very, very busy. And I have like this beautiful, amazing family. And I was kind of missing all of that because I was just so busy. So anyway, then I decided I really used the coaching tools for myself. And then I decided to go deeper and to train as a coach. And then what happened at the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey, because I hadn't really considered what being an entrepreneur would be. I don't even charge my patients, you know, like how many doctors don't charge their patients? My whole career, I wasn't charging anyone. So being an entrepreneur was very different from what I was used to. But the wellness part and advising and mentoring was certainly the same. I would say when I went in person to train, you know, Brooke Castillo at the Life Coach School teaches this model where she says you can put anything you want in the results line. And if you can, what would you create? If you really let your mind go and create anything in the world, what would that be to you? And for some people in this entrepreneurial space, they were like putting money there, a certain amount or a certain amount of clients or a certain thing. And I was like, I just want to, if I could do anything in the world, I would take a whole bunch of women physicians to Bora Bora, to the Four Seasons. And so that was like, just let your mind dream. And there was a woman there who was a yoga teacher who had actually said that she ran retreats there. And so I was like, shut up. You can run retreats at that place. Cause I had been there on my 40th birthday and it was the best week of my life. And I'm like, I could really make that like part of my work life to actually be living that week. That was the best week of my life. I could go take other people, my friends, my colleagues, possibly strangers, other women physicians who just want to refresh and start to question this life that we have and how we're so busy and what are we doing, and just kind of take some physical space and time to reflect on what it is we are creating and what it is we're choosing. Because once I was there, I was like, if this place has been here and I have not been choosing it, why have I not been choosing it? Everything is available to us. We're just not choosing it. So that's a long introduction to how I got into entrepreneurship. I went for the meaning and the purpose and the wellness. And it really, really spoke to me with looking at how I was arguing with reality for a lot of things that had been kind of hard in my life, and also how I was choosing to spend my life. I knew that we could use this for medical student, resident, physician wellness. And I knew I could also use it to create any dream that I wanted, which is magical. And I've proven over and over and over that anything I put in that results line, like the dream, I really can make it come true. I know your listeners probably think I'm a crazy person right now, but it's only been 2 years that I've been an entrepreneur. And it's really what you believe, you just might achieve, right? Like there's a chance that you could actually make it happen if you believe it's possible for you. So that's my introduction to who I am and how I got into business.
Sunny, you started in medical school, though you started a clinic. I've heard you say this before. I know you mentioned it just now. You write it off like it was nothing, but that is huge. Medical students don't typically do like anything like that, really.
Yeah, I was very, I mean, there's the circumstance, you know, like in history, there's always there's like the time, the place, the person. And so I think if you have all those right elements, it's like, why is Bill Gates who he is? He had the parents he had, he lived in the place he did. So I was in a situation where I was very fortunate to start medical school at a time where we were able to start and grow the biggest student-run free clinic in the country from nothing. Right? From absolutely nothing, totally fringe, to a multi-million dollar student-run free clinic kind of leading the way. And I was fortunate to be a part of, you know, the leadership of making that happen. And it was phenomenal. And now I hope to do something very similar in the coaching physician wellness space. As I said, I've been in physician wellness space for a long time, but only within the university. And once you step outside the university, you can actually reach people in a very different way, in a very kind of personal, like podcast like this that we're doing, right? Just many different ways that are available to reach people.
Looking back on your journey, would you have done anything differently?
Of course, as a coach, I say that everything happened just as it should, right? Like if I change anything, everything would be different. Like you can't know. It's that whole thing about, like, you know, Marty McFly, Back to the Future. Like you change anything, or whether it's A Wonderful Life, right? If you change anything, you can't predict what the possible ripple effect or outcomes would be. So I would say that my default answer is no, I wouldn't change a thing. And then of course my brain offers up, I mean, I could have enjoyed it a little more along the way, you know? So it's like nothing had to change, but I probably could have enjoyed it more. And like, it would be my thoughts that would have changed, but I wouldn't be who I am if I hadn't done everything exactly the way that I did and thought all the things that I did. So let's just believe, no, nothing had to be different. It's a great question. It's a very interesting question.
Tell me about the women physicians that are out there now. They're struggling. They don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. What could you say to them?
There's so many different versions of how that shows up for someone, right? Like for people in your group, it often shows up as, I want to decrease my clinical time because I'm miserable in clinical medicine, seeing patients every 15 minutes or charting all the time or whatever. And so people have the idea that they want to do, especially during this pandemic, the clinical income and how safe we felt at our work was very tumultuous in these past 6 months. And so I would say to a lot of people who are struggling there, I find that they sometimes are seeking non-clinical income or entrepreneurship and end up in a place like your group to think if that's a place that might be for them. But then I would say historically, most people that I've worked with don't have entrepreneurship on their radar at all. They're just suffering and miserable and sacrificing themselves for others and working hard and feeling not good enough and believing if they were good enough that they would get done on time and their charts would be done and all of this stuff. I saw you posted today about good enough. And that's a really common thought that my clients come to me with, is they feel like they're not good enough. So I would say, one of the things I would say is you are absolutely perfect just the way you are. Right? Women physicians have no idea how outstanding they are. Like truly forces of nature, badasses, whether you're doing some type of specialty that appears in society to be believed as like you're a badass, like if you're an emergency physician or a cardiothoracic surgeon, or if you're someone that's doing something behind the scenes that people don't often celebrate in that way, whether it's someone like me that's family medicine or whether you're a pediatrician, like you are part of the infrastructure of society. And that comes out in particular during this pandemic more so than almost any other time, how important the physicians are. But also, you're really smart, you're really intelligent, you know how to do hard things. Like we can do anything if we set our mind to it, but as you sort of have mentioned, have this like imposter syndrome, or we doubt ourselves. And so here's the thing that I have found about coaching and hanging around with coaches and being coached is that, and that I find working with my clients is like, I believe the thing that's magic, and that, like, for instance, Bonnie Koo said to me, you know, cause I'm like, how do you describe what it is I do? And she's like, cause she was my client for a year and a half. And she's like, what you have is belief. You believe in the future version of your clients. You believe, you know, it's possible for them. So that's the kind of thing that we're trying to get people to know. Whatever that dream is, if you can find a way to believe that maybe, just maybe, it's possible for you, then you'll start taking action. And for some people, that just means going part-time. For some people, that just means like not working weekends anymore. For some people, that means like having a few hours to yourself. And for some people, that means a six-figure, multiple six-figure or seven-figure business. So I think what I would say to the female physician entrepreneurs, I presume that would be the people who would be listening to this podcast, right? Or people who are entrepreneurs, is like, whatever that is, that wild dream of yours, if you believed it was possible, like if you were that version of yourself or that had come true already, what would you say now to yourself? Like, think of if you could tell back your first or second year med student version of yourself. We know that person's success is inevitable, right? Like, I spent my whole career advising people, and I can tell you, like, the worst time is always right before step one. They always come in for like 3 months and they're like, I'm gonna fail. It's terrible. This is how I perceive that female physician entrepreneurs are, just like first year medical student, no, second year medical students right before step one. Because they had this panic, like, am I going to make it? It's like all or none thinking. It's going to be pass fail. It's not like a gradient. It's not like you could retake it. They think, you know, their whole life is going to be over if it doesn't go right. Are they good enough? They need XYZ, for instance, to become an orthopedic surgeon. They need, and so for the female physician entrepreneurs, I think they get the idea, like, they have to do it right. They don't know what they're doing. They start doubting, they start wondering, and then they catastrophize. Just like my students will do, like, I'll never get into residency, I'll never blah, blah, blah. And it's like, again, if you could take this version of you and talk back to a first or second year preclinical version of you, you'd be like, listen, just keep going. It's fine. Like, all you got to do, honestly, I know med school's hard. I know internship's hard. But all you got to do is just keep showing up. That's it. Like, once you're in the door, that's the magic of medical school. And I'll use the analogy here for female physician entrepreneurs too. Like, once you're in medical school, our dropout rate is very minuscule. And the number of people who fail out is minuscule. We are here to ensure your success. We are here to ensure that you make it. So once you get in, you just keep showing up through the good, the bad, the ugly. Fail a test, whatever, take it again. Right? Like, whatever is happening, just keep showing up. And so I think the analogy for the female physicians that are entrepreneurs that I coach, they're like, they worry they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. I'm like, you know how the only way to fail is to stop showing up. Stop showing up, guaranteed you're not going to be a success. Guaranteed. No one else is going to do it for you. But if you show up and just keep showing up, then all of a sudden, you have these new skills. Just like once you've done first and second year, you show up to third year and you think you know nothing, but you compare yourself to someone who just starts off the street, like they don't even know what metformin is. And you're like, oh my gosh, I've come so far. And so when someone comes into your Facebook group, for instance, and they're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And then you hang around in there for 6 months, then somebody just joins and they're like, what's a lead magnet? What's a website? Like, how do you, what's copy? You know, like, they're just, people don't even know these words. And so just by continuing to show up and be there and be exposed to people who speak this language, believe it's okay to charge money to other humans for things, which doctors do all the time. I mean, I'm one of the rare physicians who ran a free clinic and didn't charge their patients, but I still got paid from the university, right? So I still was accepting money for my services. So I think realizing that we're always accepting money for our services and we're just doing it in a different space. And physicians also have incredible knowledge and skill set. So much we take for granted, like so much of what we know, like you do nutrition stuff, right? Like we know so much and you could do, whether it's, you know, pediatricians know all kinds of things about kids that are just like, come on, not everyone knows the things we know. Or like in the pandemic, we know things about viruses versus bacteria. There's so much expertise that we have. I think also physicians think they need to go out and get a lot of new skill sets before they're able to sell their new skill set. And for instance, this summer, I had a whole bunch, because of the pandemic and then the Leverage and Growth Summit, I had a whole bunch of entrepreneurs come into my coaching program. And those people who were able to get, you know, wrapping their head around the belief of like, I am already an expert. Like, I could ask you, Sharon, or any woman listening to this, what are you expert in right now? Right? And like that for me back then, you know, when I was starting, would be like, well, I mean, I'm an expert in advising and mentoring and wellness and caring. And those are the types of things I've always done. So I kind of stepped into that. And so for other people, it's other things. And so the people who stepped into that this summer literally went from zero business, some of them to six figures in like a month or two. step into your expertise that you already have. And they didn't buy extra programs. They literally did not wait for like Amy Porterfield's DCA to open or for, you know, the Life Coach School, you know, to enroll them or whatever. Like, you are enough as you are. Just start making offers to people to help the people. So that's a long, again, I'm giving you very long answers, but I think physicians believe you're an expert. You are an expert. Yes, allow the imposter syndrome to be there. Put it in the back seat and keep driving. Yes, it just doesn't get to drive. That's like Elizabeth Gilbert type quote from Big Magic. But just, you are an expert. Just show up, make offers. You learned so much by interacting with the real world. You know, you can think in your head, what if I do this? What if I do this? What's my tagline? Who do I help? How do I help them? What do I say? Just go out and get real data, like help real people. Help them, help them, help them. I think that's one reason I've been successful is because I really sincerely help and try to help. I'm always asking myself, how can I help more? How can I serve more? And then the world is just, you know, always conspiring in your favor.
Tell us about your program.
I have tried to bring together all the areas of my life and my expertise and the things that I've done and the things that I know for sure. I use the background of medical education and what we've, you know, because I would lead or present at AAMC meetings and all of that. And so like always being in the room with educators, how do we educate adults best? How do adults learn best? How do doctors modify their knowledge, skills, attitudes, and then their practices, and then implement changes in their community? So these are the things that I try to bring into the coaching space is I offer personalized, you know, you come in, you get your personalized one-to-one session. So that's like your preceptor in medical school, right? Your personal private thing where you go out and you really do and you apply. And then I put people in small groups. So they get to know their peer group because there is something very important about normalizing the experiences you're going through, whether it's distress or whether it's success. So I put people into a small group with a leader and they stay together over time in the coaching program. And then we have the larger group things, which are like sort of possibly what you could consider the equivalent of the lecture in the medical school space, except I don't lecture people. I bring real live clients on with real live issues and you raise your hand and you talk about, we have calls that are life coaching, anything in your life. We have calls that are business focused only coaching, including people who are like, I have this idea, or people who are like, I'm at six figures and I know I'm ready to scale. And then we have people who do sex coaching. We have people who do charting coaching. We have people who do money coaching. We have like, what I try to do, it's just like when I'm a course director at the school, I bring in all the expertise I can to provide the most value and transformation for my students, right? Like, I'm a family medicine clerkship director. Do I do all the lectures in that clerkship, or am I the preceptor for everyone? No, I have a lot of preceptors. I have a lot of lecturers. I have a lot of, like, I bring the variety of the skills so that people get everything they need. Because I think there's a lot, I believe very strongly that we're stronger together, always lifting each other up. The more I lift you, the more, like, it just normalizes coaching for everyone. I think physician coaching is a very important topic for entrepreneurship, no doubt. Business coaching, if you don't have a business coach, I don't know, it's going to be rough out there to say, right? Because there's going to be a lot of mental drama. There's a lot of personal development that has to go on to make a business, because you're going to come up against your areas of discomfort over and over and over again. I would say that I bring everybody that I can together. And it's all so that the client can become the best version of themselves. They get access to me. They get access to all of the people who are willing to come in that I perceive as, you know, the best of the best. And I know a lot of coaches and I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and I bring 90% physicians in. But like last time I brought in the dean of the USC School of Medicine, because I mean, not School of Medicine, School of Business. Because like, I hadn't even thought about bringing him in. And I was like, wait a minute, because he's also the head of physician wellness for the California Medical Association. And so I was like, wait a minute, he's the dean of the School of Business at USC. I should bring him in. And he came in and he taught all kinds of stuff. And then like I brought Bobby Klink, who's the lawyer for Amy Porterfield. And like, he does a lot of business coaching. And so depending on the needs, I always do a needs assessment, a survey of my clients that are in each program, and ask them like, what do you need? What are you here for? What are you looking for? I know what I typically offer, and I offer an amazing product, but I'm totally willing to customize. And so like, that's how this time, you know, I ended up bringing Elizabeth Gilbert, and I have some other thoughts about other folks that I'm always trying to bring in. I just got an email this morning that I think would be very relevant to some business folks, but it's just always, how do we do this as best as possible? How do we do it together? How do we bring all of us? Because the more of us that believe we have choice in medicine, the more likely it is, I think, that medicine will start to change its culture a little bit, so that not everyone is a 1.0, 60 to 80 hour a work week, charting nights, charting weekends, sacrificing ourselves until we die. Like, we have to create it such that, you know, this started 100 years ago, that the programs, you know, residency started what they are and all this. So I just think it's time. I think 2020, the pandemic year, and the years where now women are half of medical school entrance, that it's just time for us to start seeing we have choices and to start changing and to not devalue anyone who thinks that they might want to work part-time in medicine. And first of all, part-time is like 40 hours, right? You work 2 or 3 days a week. All my clients who work 2 or 3 days a week, they all work 40 hours. Like in any other field, that's called full-time. So anyway, so yes, I believe by us all changing ourselves, changing each other, coming together, we really have the opportunity to change the culture for ourselves and the future of medicine. These are my thoughts.
Tell me where you'd like to be. What's your next goal? You're doing so much, but what would you like to see if you could wish on anything?
That is a good question. What would I like to see? I would like to see COVID over. I would really like to see that. I know we all would. I saw that Fauci said it might be another year before we're able to get out in the real world like we used to, because, you know, as I mentioned, I started with retreats and I really love in-person events. I really like getting to know other human beings and bonding with them. And I think human connection is what life is really all about. We're here for a very short period of time. So that's what I would like to see. I would like to see the world open back up safely again. I would like to have a whole bunch of us blooming where we are planted, and speaking our voice, our truth, stepping into our greatness, whatever that means for all of us. I would like to see women physicians leading. I would like to see them as CEOs. I would like to see them as CMOs. I would like to see them as physician wellness experts. I also just really, really think that we have to treat doctors as human beings. You probably know, I'm sure you know, from my story that, like, you know, medicine almost killed me because in an internship, I had sleep deprivation and ended up in a coma. And like, that just shouldn't happen. We shouldn't ask people to do things that really humans shouldn't have to do, like stay up all night long or sacrifice your whole life or never go to your kids' things. Like, I just think that this standard, you know, if you look at truckers or airplane pilots or other people who have the safety of society in their hands, we have different standards for them. Like, I used to work at a hotel in high school, and I would have to sign off as the hotel front desk clerk that the trucker checked in at the time that he said he checked in at, because they need to know he has at least 8 hours in a bed before they would let him back on the road. And so I just think, so my goals, again, they're a little more broad than just my own business, but I think that my business hopefully impacts people who believe this too, and empowers them to speak that, like, it doesn't have to be this way. We can create it any way we want. So that's my goal. And so I hope, like, you know, at the Life Coach School where I train, we speak openly about our revenue and things. And so, like, I've made well over $1 million in 2020 alone, and there's still a whole other quarter left. And it's not about necessarily making a lot of money, because I pay a lot of money to women physicians. I pay physicians what physicians are worth, right? I'm not going to, like, hire non-physicians to coach my people. And that's very rare. So I think, though, that if I can do this and I can grow my business, say I've grown my business tenfold, then that means instead of having affected a couple hundred women physicians, if I grew that tenfold, that'd be like 2,000 women physicians all across the US and Canada, sometimes on the other side of the globe, like speaking up, believing their voice matters, knowing that whatever they want, they should be able to create that and claim that in this world and in this life. So again, for my business, I hope that it grows significantly, but it's mostly the impact that I hope grows. And then what is very interesting is a lot of my clients are coaches now or have their own business or are physician wellness people or leading in residencies or APDs or whatever. Then they get to create this where they are too. So it's not just like, say I grew tenfold. So say we start where we are, right? A couple hundred people. If each one touches 5 lives, 10 lives, 20 lives, and then we each kind of exponentially grow, it's really, I feel like we're at a tipping point where really, I do believe it's possible that we could change, all of us women physicians could change the culture of medicine.
I love you, Sunny.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you like us, please give us a nice review and tell your family and friends about us. We'll see you on another episode.